Thank you, yeah, Chris. Thank you, Kim. Wow. Hey, I also want to let you know on this slip here, it's not just for those of you who need, would like to be with somebody on Thanksgiving if you're a single person. It's also if you would like to host people. That's the first choice there. I would like to host a person or people in need for Thanksgiving. Number of people I'm willing to host. And then there's more, of course. If you'd like to join a family or group for Thanksgiving, put your contact information there. And then there are needs for food also on there. So again, whether you'd like to be hosted or you'd like to host, this is a really complete response form for you. Put it in the basket before you leave. And we want to make sure that those in our congregation who are single that would like to be with people. Maybe there are some singles who don't want to be with anybody. That's okay. That's perfectly fine. But if you'd like to be with a family, then we want to give you that opportunity. That would be terrific. Hey, also today, the Holman family, they're moving some supplies and things from Pine Hills, from the former home of Marshall and Serafina, to their place off of Oak Heights Road, from 1 to 4. So if you have a moment, even a half hour, and you'd like to help them load some supplies in a truck that's going to travel a few miles, then contact Marilyn, and her number is 760-812-0329. Once again, that's 760-812-0329. Let Marilyn know that you can help out, because they're going to be moving in different locations throughout the day. And maybe you're saying, you know, I was looking for a way to burn some calories today, so I need to do that. And so maybe that's what you want to do today. Maybe there'll be some extra bread or goodies left over that we might also get from the Holmans. Who knows? But either way, you're doing it out of the pure motive of helping our brothers and sisters. What's that? Oh, you know, Adrian, if it was up to me, snacks would be served every 10 minutes. Okay, that's the way I live. So there might be some snacks, I'm sure. If it's the Holmans, there'll be some snacks. You know there will. Okay, yeah. So count on it. Oh, wow. Well, here we are. And I'm about to condense a 30-minute sermon into 10, maybe 12, 15 minutes right now. The Lord can do that. So we're going to be in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. As Paul continues to encourage and establish and instruct and warn the Thessalonians about some things. And it seems like in this second chapter, again, the letter wasn't originally divided in chapters, but as we read this second chapter, it seems like Paul is addressing a counterfeit letter or some gossip that was going throughout the young church, claiming that it was from Paul, entered into the day of the Lord. The day of judgment was upon them, and that explains their suffering. But Paul, never at a loss for words, is going to refute this idea that they are experiencing the great tribulation in their lifetime right now. And as Paul does that, we gather the knowledge and the love to do the same. Because there are still some today who say, right now you're going through it. You're in the great tribulation. This is it. And you're going to be able to say, no, not so. Not according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, or according to Revelation chapters 6 through 19. Certainly this is not the great tribulation. We are enduring tribulations, lowercase t, no doubt about it. Talk to anybody in the church right now. They'll say, yes, I've gone through tribulations. I'm going through them right now. But this is not the great tribulation that is God's wrath poured out upon a Christ-rejecting world. That's not us. We're children of the day. We are in Christ. And Paul was clear 2 weeks ago when he said, we're not appointed unto wrath, but unto salvation in Jesus Christ. And he'll say it again today. So with that, let's read through 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in its entirety. Here we go. Now, brethren, brothers and sisters, it covers all of us, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of the Lord, day of Christ had come. He says, that's not from us. That letter that you're reading or what somebody had been telling you, that gossip, that's not us. Let no one deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day will not come. Exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Again, we know him from 8.5 months of reading through the book of Revelation. We know him as the Antichrist. He's called here the son of perdition, the man of sin, but John called him the Antichrist. And he will be revealed. Do you not remember, verse 5, that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Paul says, I told you so. Don't believe the gossip you're hearing right now. And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. In other words, Paul says, there's a restraining force right now that's holding back this time, this day of the Lord, this judgment, horrible wrath of God from coming. There's something restraining that. His mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. We know this from reading through the book of Revelation. The sword of the Spirit will proceed from the mouth of Jesus and will deal with Satan once and for all. Verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. In other words, the Antichrist is empowered by Satan himself. Satan's savior, you might say, his counterfeit savior, is the Antichrist. And again, think back just a few months. We know this from reading through the book of Revelation. He says, he comes with signs and lying wonders and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie and they will that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Diligent people who reject the gospel will do things that we think are foolish and we'll say, how could they possibly believe that thing? They're such a smart person. Well, if a person has rejected the truth of the gospel, they're open to anything, to believe anything. And we're seeing it in our day today as millionaires, billionaires who've rejected Jesus are doing things that you think are unspeakable. Verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel. God called us through the preaching of the gospel. Somebody shared with us that Jesus Christ died for our sins and that he's the only way to receive forgiveness and salvation. Somebody shared that with us, whether it was our parents or somebody on a television program or our person at work that works with us, our coworker, a student, somebody did it. And we received salvation through believing on the gospel, believing what they told us. We said, I do believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, that he died for my sins. God, thank you. Forgive me of my sin. And in that moment, the Bible says you're born again. You're born again of the Spirit. And because of that, you will not suffer the wrath of the great tribulation. No ifs, ands, or buts. 15, verse 15. Therefore, brothers and sisters, stand fast, stand firm, hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. In other words, hold on to those, the word of God that was given to you, either orally or by the reading of it in the Old Testament or by this letter that Paul wrote. And Paul ends with a blessing upon them. Verse 16 and 17 is a blessing. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. Amen. Preaching Jesus in word and in deed, in your words and your work, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that's the pie that we hold on to. That's how we preach the gospel. Preaching Jesus in word and in deed, in word and in work, if you want to call it that, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And Paul was doing that. And as their faith increased, like I said before, so did the persecutions. And there were some saying, the day of the Lord has come. You're suffering. Obviously, you're going through tribulation because you are being judged for your sin. Just like the friends of Job told him, even though he had done nothing wrong, they said, you must have a secret sin, Job. You must be doing something, and that's why you're suffering. Not so. God allowed Job to suffer that God would be glorified, and others would call, it would catch the attention of many. And many times our persecutions and sufferings are not done because we are concealing a secret sin, but because God is going to work wonders and bring others to him as they watch you suffer through these things, and you call on the name of the Lord, and you endure the suffering. They say, how can you do that? How in the world are you able to hold up to that? And you say, it's through Jesus Christ that I'm able to do that. And so, again, trials work in our favor and in God's glory, not against us. And again, we go through small trials, lowercase t, we'll never go through that great tribulation time, uppercase t, tribulation. And Paul says, here's why. Just as there's an order of the seasons, winter, spring, summer, fall, which is why I've called this sermon the season of falling, so too, Paul says, there are certain things that have to happen before the day of the Lord comes. Now, again, I'm going to condense this like condensed orange juice right now. You're going to have to add water to it later and get the whole thing. But here's the thing. The day of the Lord in the Bible refers to a span of time. It identifies a span of time in which God personally intervenes in history, directly or indirectly, to accomplish some specific aspect of his plan. Now, if you recall, the order of the book of Revelation, the first chapter was on the person of the glorified Christ, the person of Jesus. Jesus says, write the things which you have seen. John saw the glorified Christ. And then he says, John, write the things which are. And the things which are, right now, this is, we are living in the church age. It's an age of grace where anybody could call out to God and say, please forgive me. I'm so sorry for my sins. And you receive salvation and forgiveness in that moment right there. And so chapters 2 and 3 talk about the possession of Christ, which is the church. So chapter 1 was the person of Christ. Chapters 2 and 3 in the book of Revelation, the possession of Christ, that's us. And the place of Christ walking amongst the churches. And then from chapters 4 to the end of the book of Revelation, it's the program of Christ. It's the way he runs the show. He calls the shots. And Paul says, let me tell you what, the these other things happen. And he says, one of the things that's going to happen is the falling away or the departure or the removal of the church. And it comes in two ways. There's two falling aways, you might say. One, of course, fresh in our minds, is the catching away, the snatching away of the church, what we call the rapture. The wrath of God will not come until that moment comes when we are taken out of here. Just like Lot had to leave Sodom and Gomorrah, just like the children of Israel had to pass through the open chasm that was left there when God parted the Red Seas. Just as Noah had to have his family in the boat before the flood would come, so too will the righteous, through Christ Jesus, be taken out before the wrath of God comes upon us. God does not judge the righteous and the unrighteous in the same way. Through the Passover, when you see these things happen, when you put the blood of the lamb over the doorpost and the lintels, and the angel of death, the destroyer, passes over your house, you will know that God does make a difference between the Israelite and the Egyptian. And in the same way, he makes a difference between those who are saved, who've been forgiven, and those who have rejected Jesus Christ. And so there will be first a taking, a removal, a departure of the church. But there also will be a falling away of those who you might call the imposter church. Those who, they look like Christians, they sound like Christians, but yet they have never, ever been born again. They've never asked Jesus to forgive their sins. And so they're counterfeit. And in chapter 3 of the book of Revelation, there is a church that fits that description, that says they're wealthy and they have need of nothing and they're clothed in the finest clothes. But Jesus comes along and says, you know what? You're wretched, poor, blind, and naked. You're none of the things you think you are because you've done it on your own strength. You kept me on the outside of the church. You kicked me out a long time ago. You kicked me out of your church. And unless you invite me back in, you're going to suffer through this great tribulation. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. But right now I'm on the outside. That's why he said that to the church of Laodicea. And there are churches today. There are churches today. There are mainline denominations that have made it a point to say, Jesus is not the only way, the truth, and the life. There are many ways. There's many ways. And surely Jesus didn't mean that when he said that, or Paul didn't mean that in Romans 1. So we're going to ignore those biblical truths, and we're going to do these things that are ungodly, that are really an abomination in God's eyes. And they will be those one day. But I did these great things. People say, depart from me. I never knew you. And that's a terrifying thought. That was one of our top 10 scary stories last week, was the sheep and the goats from Matthew chapter 24. It made number 9. Or maybe it was number 2. I don't remember. But either way, it's a terrifying thought. But there's got to be a falling away first. A catching away of the church, a falling away of what is called, what's left over, the apostate church. And again, apostasia, that's this word falling away. So when somebody says, you're living in apostasy, it means you're living separated from the biblical truths of God. You're doing something that's totally unbiblical. But it can mean also the catching away, the removal. So two types of falling away. And then it says this, it says, the man of sin will be revealed after that happens. So Paul says there's an order of things. Before the great judgment of God comes, this Antichrist, this son of perdition, this man of sin, will one day stand in the middle of the temple of the Jews and say, from now on, you worship me. Now that's going to be the darkest moment of history of mankind, this time called the Great Tribulation. But perhaps the most terrifying moment will come at what is called the Great White Throne Judgment, Revelation chapter 20, when those who rejected Christ will try to stand on their own works, and they'll be judged wanting. They'll come up short, and they'll be cast away forever in eternal judgment, as the Bible calls it. We called it a very scary story last week as this event occurs. There is a place called hell, prepared originally for the devil and his angels, but yet now it will be a place of torment for those who reject the free gift of Jesus Christ. So again, the whole letter is written, chapter 2 is written to clear these things up. Paul says, not so. These things must happen first. But there's something restraining that man of that Antichrist from moving forward. What is that restraining force? I would say from what I've gathered, from what the Bible teaches, it's the Holy Spirit working in the lives of the church. The Holy Spirit is a restraining force. That's why when the church is removed, when there's a falling away of the true church, and all that's left is the residue, there will be the man of sin waiting to rise up, because the church is the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We're a restraining force in this world. That's why it's so important for us as the church not to stay silent, but to go in love, not in your face with a fist, but maybe 6 feet back with open arms, saying, hey, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except for him. I want you to know him so bad. I really do. And your love and your life hopefully will prepare the ground of their hearts to want to say, wow, I believe you because there's something different about you. And you've been so loving with me, even though I've mocked you and talked behind your back and done so many things, but yet you still come and you offer me the gift of love and life and forgiveness in Jesus Christ. And you get the privilege maybe of saying, let's pray together. Let's pray. We could ask Jesus right now to come into your life and you'll never be the same. That's an awesome thing. That's the best privilege we'll ever have in this life. So let's go forth from here, church. Let's do the work of Jesus. And again, I give you the blessing of Paul. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. And that is the blessing for the church. And let's pray for those who are not in the church yet, who have kept Jesus on the outside. Let's pray now. Think of somebody in your family, a friend, somebody that you so badly want to come inside, to come and receive Jesus Christ. Let's pray for them now. And we do that now. Jesus, thank you for this time, Lord. We bow our heads and our hearts. And Lord, we know that you came to us while we were still sinners. You demonstrated your love for us, and you died for us, Jesus. Not when we cleaned up our acts, not when we went through a 12-step program, not when we even went to church. You saved us before we did any of those things, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And now we pray for a family or a friend or a neighbor or a stranger that we're going to meet today, that we would have the love to share the gospel. Lord, that we would not look at our own ability, but that we would just be available for you to work through. Because in us dwells no good thing. But Jesus, you have chosen to work through us. And so God, we pray that today, those family members and friends would not so much see me, but they would see you in me, Jesus. And they would want to know you, Jesus, and have a relationship with you. And Lord, I pray if there's anybody watching on television or maybe here today who has kept you on the outside, Lord, your words are true today. Behold, you stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears your voice, Jesus, you will open the door of their hearts and say, please, Jesus, forgive me. I do need you, Jesus. I thought I could do it without you, but man, my sin has not been dealt with. I need you to deal with my sin, Jesus. Please forgive me. By your blood, by your body, I put my trust and my hope in you now. My trope, Lord. I put the trope in you, Lord. Please, Jesus, do a good work, Lord. Do a good work and save me, Jesus. Save me. Thank you, Jesus. And now, Lord, let me grow. Let me feed on the milk of your word, Jesus. Let me not avoid church or avoid my kooky friends who are Christians, but let me want to join with them and pray and enjoy what it means to be in the body of Christ. And Lord, I thank you that today you made me a new creation. I'm a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are made new. Thank you, Jesus, for that. And we ask your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, let's stand together. And again, if that's you, if today you came in and you've been fooling everybody, you were faking it for so long, but now you really said, please forgive me, Jesus. Hey, you're the real thing now. You're the true thing. You're a real Christian. So don't keep that a secret. Let somebody else know. Let me know. I'd love to know that. That you prayed today. That would be a privilege and a pleasure of mine. But thank you so much for being here. And again, I encourage you to go encourage somebody else in Christ. Stick around today. There's lots of carbohydrates. So if you have, there are lots of carbs. If you're training, or if you just want to do chores today, or you want to make it through the day, there is four different kinds of bread. There's coffee. And enjoy it. Enjoy one another. God bless you for coming.
Your voice, you have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I know you as a father, I know you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God.
Lord, with every breath that you give us through this week until we meet again, Lord Jesus, may we be using it to praise and worship you, to love on others, to speak your truth, Lord Jesus, to combat the lies of the enemies and the enemy, Lord, as you speak to and through us. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.